All right, if you have a Bible, turn somewhere around 1 Thessalonians. We'll get there in a few minutes. I must confess there are times I feel totally inadequate for the task at hand, namely preaching to you this morning. And to be able to provide some, you know, provide for the spiritual needs of the church. As frail as I am, I know our God is able to meet your needs. And I am totally relying upon Him this time to be able to do that, to meet your needs, especially in times like this. For most, if not all, the sadness of Jerry's decline and the news of Tom's cancer and the seeming sadness and the sorrowfulness that we all are experiencing and the emptiness, and the brokenheartedness. I know that when my dad and my mom passed, I don't know that I could explain it other than it was a numbness. There were times of laughter and joy, remembering some things. There were times of tears and sadness. But even, and I can fully understand this, there were times after coming back from the funeral and sitting underneath some preaching that I was just numb. It's just like it was just bouncing off. And if that's your case, don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. It hurts. And there's nothing that we as human beings are going to be able to do to stifle that hurt. I think that's counterproductive if you stifle it. But with all of that brokenheartedness, I am reminded of a scripture that I think, I hope anyway, would be some comfort to us, and it's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Whatever reason, we want the hurting to stop. We want everything to be reversed. We want things the way they were instead of the way they are. And as we know, the clock does not stop. It keeps marching on. And life keeps marching on. And there's nothing we're going to be able to do to stop it or to reverse it. But we do have some things from the Word of God that can give us some comfort that we as human beings really just can't provide. It's found in verse 13. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. There is sorrow, and I guess you could say there's two kinds of sorrow. There's the sorrow that this world has, and there's the sorrow of a Christian. And I can't say that they don't hurt differently. I think they hurt the same. But there is something on the inside that makes the sorrow of a Christian a bit better. And I guess you could say in some respects easier to take. But what I want you to gather from this is that we have hope in Jesus Christ. And there is comfort that only He alone can provide. We can put our arms around each other and we can hug each other and we can cry with each other, and there is some comfort in that. But it doesn't fix everything. And there's only a comfort that God Himself can provide. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." He is the God of all comfort. as it may seem, and I've felt this way, and it's not wrong to think this way, but understanding the truth, which brings you back into focus, as much as we think God is distant and detached from our problems and heartaches, He is very near. He's very near. He knows what you're feeling. He knows the questions. He even knows the doubts. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, it says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities." That's a double negative. And though it sounds like it's saying that the Lord doesn't understand what you're going through, it is actually a positive that He does know what you're going through. He knows our infirmities. Because He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And He knows our sorrows. I'm not going to take a lot of time today. I think what I have to say is probably secondary to what the Lord can do for you. But I want you to know that the Lord knows your sorrows. In Isaiah 53 and verse 3, that famous chapter about the suffering Christ and what He was going to do, His crucifixion foretold in the Old Testament, it says in verse 3, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief." The only people that can really help you in a time when you are hurting is someone who has been where you're at. And I want you to know that Jesus has been where you're at. In Isaiah 66 and verse 13, it says this, "As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted." You ought to take some real comfort in that, because God Himself has made that statement. And He uses something that all of us have been familiar with at one point in our life, when either a heartache or a sorrow or an injury of some sort as we were young, and Dad was just, you'll be okay, put you off. You go to Mom. Mom put her arms around you. Mom kissed the boo-boo or whatever it was, and Mother could comfort you like nobody else could comfort you. And you know what God's saying? God says, "As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted." We talked about last week and the week before where the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Sometimes in heartache and sorrow and going through some of the things that we're going through, it's good just to crawl up into the lap of the Lord. Let Him put His arms around you and just talk to Him. Tell Him what hurts. Tell Him what you're feeling. Tell Him your doubts. Tell Him all of these things and just let His arms wrap around you and comfort you just like your mother used to comfort you. Something that's used quite a bit in the Beatitudes, it says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Not that they hope to be comforted, they shall be comforted. To say why these things come upon us, why did Jerry's cancer just pop up seemingly out of nowhere and grab him so quickly? Why did all of a sudden, one day, all of a sudden Tom realize there was a lump there and without any prior warning and then get the news of cancer? Why we those things come upon us, I tell you what, I can't tell you. I have no idea. I suppose there could be varied reasons, but I'm not going to be a fool to try to say what they are, because I have no idea. God only knows. But I know that nothing takes God by surprise. He is in control, and nothing can be done without His permission. And so when I say this, I want you to understand that I'm looking at it from God's perspective. God has a plan for Jerry. God has a plan for Tom. God has a plan for each and every one of us. And it's up to us to trust Him. To trust Him. And sometimes that's the hardest thing to do, is to trust Him. Because we want what we want. I don't think it's coincidence that for the last 3 or 4 months we've been memorizing some scripture. Let me remind you, Psalm 84, verse 12, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. The one that we have for this month, O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Those enemies can be disease, could be the sorrow and the heartache and the lack of trust that we have. We don't want those enemies to triumph over us. Excuse me. Can't even read what I got down here now. What God's plan is for each person will have an effect on others. And through that effect that it has on others, God will be perfecting those people. Let me just break that down. It's probably too hard to understand. God has a plan for Jerry. Whatever that plan is, I don't know. But in that plan that God has for Jerry, it's affecting you and it's affecting me. And through that plan and it affecting you and me, God is trying to perfect something in us through that plan. So even though God is working in one way in Jerry's life, He's working in other ways in our lives that are affected by what Jerry's going through or what Tom's going through or what Kristen's going through. It's affecting us. And to be honest, I haven't figured out God's ways. He's certainly not doing the things that I would want Him to do. But He knows what's best. I've learned over the years, even though I think I know the situation and what should be done, His plans always work out better in the long run. But I can assure you, He has a plan. And this is what God says about His plan. I want you to take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 This directly affects you and I with what is going on around us. And this is what God sees in His plan for us. And how He observes it and how He considers it. We look at it as being almost the end of life, and He sees it differently. And this is what we have to get a hold of. In verse 7 it says this, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Jerry's trial will work out to the praise of God's glory. Tom's trial will work out to the praise of God's glory. Our trials, if we trust the Lord, will work out to the praise and honor of God's glory. And all of it will be revealed at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to understand, God gave us His Spirit to comfort us. In John chapter 14, in verse 16, it says this, I will pray the Father, this is Jesus speaking, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. A couple of verses down in verse 18, it says, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. If you're saved and born again, you have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you, which is also called the Comforter. And He is there to comfort you in any situation that you may find yourselves in. Not only is He given the Holy Spirit to be a comfort to us, but He's given us each other to be a comfort to each other. We read that one verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, said, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. We all have life experiences. Some of us have been through some things that have just been horrendous, and God's gotten us through them. When God's gotten us through those things, you have an understanding and a heart to know that someone else that's going through those same things, you know what they feel like. You know the hurt. You know the numbness. You know that they don't need to be preached to. Sometimes they just need to have a hug and for someone just to sit next to them, maybe even to shed some tears with them, and just to know that you're there. There's a comfort that we can provide for each other. But it's not as good as the Holy Spirit. And it's not as good as the last one. God gave us His Word to comfort us. I find it strange and really kind of a oxymoron, if you will, that the time when these trials and struggles come in our lives, the first thing we do is we stop reading. We stop reading. Our mind is just flooded with all kinds of thoughts. I know I'll just speak for myself. I am sure there are others that could probably join me, but I just haven't been able to focus. I haven't been able to concentrate on things. Even trying to come up with this sermon here this morning, I just was agonizing over what to say and how to say it. My mind was just cluttered with all kinds of things. Sometimes not even knowing what it's cluttered with. It's just I can't concentrate, can't focus. What do? We stop reading. Sometimes we even stop praying. We stop taking advantage of the very thing that can help us. God gave us His Word to comfort us. In 1 Thessalonians, I hope you're still there. Take a look in chapter 4 and verse 18. It says, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." And what were those words? Let's begin in verse 13 again. "But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep," those that have died. That's God's way of saying death. "That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." We sorrow. We hurt. We're heartbroken. But it's not the kind of sorrow that has that sense of finality to it. There is a sorrow that we have that knows that there's something still ahead. And it's that comfort. And what is that comfort and what is that hope? It is the confidence, not a self-will, not something that you drum up on the inside, but it's the confidence that he said that we will see each other again. And that we will be with the Lord forever. And that all the pain and all the suffering and all the heartache will all be over forever and ever, never to return again. Yes, we sorrow. Yes, we hurt. But it's not final. It's not something that we have to carry with us until we ourselves die. It's something that we know that we can look forward to. Something with great anticipation. Something that we might even have a smile on our face at one day, realizing one day I'm going to get to see. I'm going to get to see my mom. Hopefully I get to see my dad. Hopefully I'll get to see Ron Burris and Allie and Gene and Sherry. And other friends that we've gone on before us. We have that hope that keeps us going, that keeps us serving, that keeps believing. And all that pain one day is going to be gone. We have a song that we sing. I want to read the words to you. "There's coming a day when no heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look on his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be." You see, we have a hope that's steadfast and sure, a hope that this world does not have. A hope that we can trust and count on, And then all we do is just need to remember and to read the words, wherefore comfort one another with these words. I wish I could take the hurt away. I wish I could take the pain and the sorrow away. But I know there's still comfort in the Lord and in His Word. And I hope and pray by the grace of God that through the numbness, through everything just bouncing off around you, that you can't focus on work, you can't focus on family, you can't focus on anything. It's just all just out there. One day God will take that comfort of His and He'll just soothe you in His arms and assure you that everything's okay. Everything's all right. We just have to rest and trust in Him. Remember He said, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's go ahead and stand. Father, I've tried the best I could. And I know it probably seemed more depressing than uplifting, but Lord, I pray that these folks might understand that there's comfort in You. If we try to run away and hide and just try to get consumed in all these things and ignore You, Lord, it just makes it worse. Lord, I know from Job's testimony, Lord, that he yelled at You and was upset with You because of the way things were. And Lord, I don't think You begrudge people when they lay out their heart to You. And Lord, I know that You can take even the angry and, God forbid, bitter heart, and You can soften it. And You can do something with it that will be an honor and a glory and a blessing to You. So, Father, I pray that You'd heal these hurting souls. Lord, give us the strength and courage to be a comfort to those that need it more than we. And I pray that in all of it, that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, would receive the honor and the glory. For we ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. 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 Lord bless.